Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
If you remember, they had suffered greatly, cast into jail, and by the grace of God and power of God, they had been delivered, and the jailer himself was baptized, seeing the grace of God, being touched of God, and the Lord worked with them through their afflictions, and the church was blessed, and they were blessed, and we come to them, verse 40 of chapter 16, they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia, the sister whose heart the Lord had opened and prepared. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. I think it's amazing to see that after all they had suffered and all they had gone through, they comforted the brethren. Now, I know that's part of their job, being apostles and elders, is to comfort the brethren. They do that by teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The love of God touches our heart and we're unable to hear it. But I'm going to tell you, I still find it very, very pleasing that these who had suffered so greatly were comforting the brethren. That's just a wonderful thing to me and a gift of God. But they departed there in chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. Now bear in mind, the Apostle Paul has written two epistles to the Thessalonians. So as we go through this and how they, the trouble he would have there, understood that God did have a people there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul telling those same saints of God in Thessalonica that seeing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, God had a people there. God's got a people everywhere, every family, every kindred, every tongue, every people. God has a people from all people. He always has and he always will. They are taken from the nature of Adam and brought into the nature of Christ and shall inherit heaven and immortal glory. Now, Paul says, where was the synagogue of the Jews? Well, now we know what Paul is going to do, because it has been his manner from the time that he was struck down and blinded, and Ananias came unto him, and the scales were removed from his eyes, and he was baptized and went forth preaching. We know where Paul is going. We know what Paul is going to do. We ought to know what we're going to do today. We are told as we make our living, going through the book of James, we've covered this, that as we're going to make our living and live in this world, we ought to be praying, the Lord willeth, the Lord willeth. If the Lord will, I'll go down here and sell and buy and make money. But brethren, the scripture gives us instruction of what we're to be doing. We're about to be about the Lord's business. A mother is to take care of her family and teach her children of the Lord. That's the duty of a mother. We find that in Titus. We find that in Timothy. The older men are to be sober-minded, serious-minded. Doesn't mean you've got to be miserable. We'll cover that in a moment. Doesn't mean you've got to go through pain and be tortured for the Lord. We'll cover that in the second half of this chapter. It just means to be serious-minded about the Lord, to teach the younger brethren. And a minister is to preach and teach the kingdom of God. So Paul knows where he's going to go. And he knows what he's going to do. And Lord willing, he'll be successful in it. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. And where's he going? He's going to the synagogue on the Saturday Sabbath to the Jews, Paul being a Jew himself, to try to convert the elect of God among Judea and also the proselytes who had come into the Jewish religion. And we see many of them in the book of Acts, devout people. They were devout to the Jewish religion. That's why they were there in the Sabbath day on the Saturday in the Jewish religion, trying to worship God and learn of this God of heaven who had touched them and caused them, opened their heart as he did with Lydia, and caused them to want to know more about the Lord. And that teaches us the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because when God has truly opened your heart and you truly see that and you truly experience that, then you know him and his sufferings and you know his glory and you know his power and you have a knowledge and you have peace and you have a joy in the gospel. Now Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Three Sabbath days, that's not 3 days. That is three Sabbath days. That's a one Saturday, and then a week later another Saturday, and then a week later another Saturday. So Paul was there three Sabbath days, somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks that Paul spent there. Paul was in the synagogue teaching these people, and if we read of Paul, and the Bible doesn't say this, so perhaps I should not say it, but I want you to think about it, because the manner of Paul was, he spoke to people everywhere he went. We're going to see when he's in Athens, he's there in the marketplace talking to people. There were people coming down in the marketplace to hear him talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them knew God. They knew the Father. They didn't know Jesus and did not know that Jesus is the Son of God. That's one thing that the gospel declares and teaches us. The Jews rejected that. Again, back to John chapter 5. They condemned the Lord Jesus Christ because he made himself the Son of God in the way he taught and what he said. He declared himself to be the Son of God. Who made him the Son of God? No one. He's always been the Son of God. He is eternal. The Godhead is eternal. You cannot take away the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ. He has always been the Son of God, the living Word of God. But Paul, as his manner was, went unto them and three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. The New Testament has not been penned. The New Testament is being written. I say that to make this point because some people seem to get offended when people preach out of the Old Testament too much. Let me tell you, that's what Paul was teaching them. That's what the apostles were teaching. That's what the elders in that day were teaching them. As by the Spirit of God, they were writing the New Testament. They were preaching to them out of the Old Testament. Because that's what God had given up to that point in time. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Paul is going back in the Old Testament, and he is teaching the Jews, who should have more of a familiarity of the Scriptures, and he's teaching the proselytes that Jesus is the Christ. That from the beginning of the Old Testament, you want to find God mentioned? Do you want to find Jesus Christ mentioned? In the Old Testament, where do you start? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Revelation chapter 3 teaches us that Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. That's not saying that God created Christ or he's the eternal Son. It's saying that Christ is the beginning. That when God created the beginning, God spoke and it was done. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Christ is the light. Christ is the spoken word of God. He is the living word of God by which the worlds were framed. The second person of the Godhead, who by the way became flesh and dwelt among us. The New Testament reveals all that was concealed in the Old, the types and shadows. Paul was speaking to them in types and shadows, and in the history of Israel and the history of the world and all that God had given through the holy prophets unto his people in the Old Testament Scripture. It's called the books of Moses, the law of Moses, and all these different things because they were penned by the hand of Moses, or a scribe that Moses had them penned by. But let me tell you, it's the law of God, it's the book of God. Everything from beginning to end, Old Testament and New, is inspired of the Holy Ghost. It's God that wrote it. That does not mean that God planted something in their mind and they thought about it and they prayed about it and then a month later they wrote it down. A holy man of God penned as the Holy Spirit spoke to them. As they were moved instantly, immediately, the word was there. Just as God said it. It wasn't something they had to look back in history and decide. They wrote it as God said it. It is the Word of God. Every pronunciation, every exclamation point, every jot, and every tittle which was fulfilled in Christ, God said it. God wrote it. Now, Paul is expounding to them Christ and Him crucified. Where else might Paul go? Genesis chapter 3, about verse 16. When the Lord spoke to Satan. And he said, upon my belly shalt thou go the days of thy life. But then he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, the seed of Christ and the seed of the woman. How would God put enmity? In Christ, the righteousness of God, in the Spirit of God, within His children, that turns us from the way of darkness unto the way of light, which is Christ, and darkness being the devil. But then he says that that seed, being Christ, would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. Christ's heel was bruised when the man whom the Jews had hated and rejected and rebelled against, the man, Jesus Christ, laid down his life, his heel was bruised. He was not killed. He was not murdered. That was our intent. We delivered him up to be killed. Satan delivered him up to be killed. We did not have the authority to kill him. We did not have the power or the ability to kill him. He laid his life down. And he bruised the head of the serpent. He destroyed death. He destroyed he that had the power over death. That is the devil. And he came forth for our justification, bringing us into life when he came forth into life from the tomb. When that stone was rolled away and the angel asked them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is arisen." Can you imagine the old Jew taught in the law of how good he was supposed to be and how he kept the law and taking the law which should condemn him when he sees grace, reveal unto him his unrighteousness and his sin. Can you see the old Jew hearing this? That's what Paul's teaching them. Who is it for? That Christ must needs die, opening and alleging the Scripture. And that word opening refers to the Jewish concept of the rabbi who knew more about the Scripture than the common Jewish man. Why? Oh, he was smart. No, because God placed him in that office. And he would open the Scriptures. Not open them like the gospel does today, but open the Scriptures to the Jewish people under the law of service. Paul was opening and alleging that Christ, this man they hated and rejected and delivered to Pilate and crucified and had him within the tomb and had a guard set outside lest he should come forth or his disciples should roll the stone away and take him. These Jews, having the Scripture open to them and being taught that Christ must needs have suffered. He had to suffer. He had to die. He had to come into this world. I've heard old Baptist preachers say, and we're not Arminians, so I really wish they'd stop saying this. What if Christ had come down from that cross? Christ could not come down from that cross because God cannot lie. Ephesians 1 and 4 teaches us that God chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should holy be holy and without blame before God the Father in love. There was a covenant made between the Godhead who cannot lie, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It could not be broken. It could not be erased. The seal was set with the Holy Spirit of the covenant between Father and Son, and Christ could not come down from that cross. The 118th Psalm says something along these lines, bind the sacrifice with cords to the altar. Christ was the sacrifice. The offering he made to God, the altar was upon the cross of Calvary. He was bound by covenant to be held to that, to die for the sins of his people. That's what Paul is telling these people. Not because of Paul's knowledge or greatness, but because God enabled him and gave him the knowledge by revelation, he says in chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs to suffer. He had to die. He had to be born of the virgin, that his father would not be man, but God. Therefore, he had no inherited sin. He had to walk upon this earth 30 years before his ministry because a priest by law had to be 30 years of age. He kept the law to a jot and a tittle. He did not break the law at all. He kept it perfectly. The only man who ever has, not just in walk, but also in heart. Because our nature is hate. Our nature is hard. You see Paul talking in the Philippian letter about all that he had and all that he was, the Jewish religion. But God touched his heart and he counted all that as dung. But my point is Christ had to suffer. The covenant was made before time ever began, before God created it. And it could not be broke. Christ was bound to the sacrifice by covenant, bound to the cross by covenant, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. Who did he die for? Let's go to Isaiah 53. For the sins of my people, God's elect, was he stricken. Why? Because it pleased the Lord, verse 8, to bruise him. You see, we see it in death because he laid his life down. Hebrews, I believe, I keep butchering that and not telling you whether it's 12 or 13. I'm going to look at it so I can tell you where he says that he endured the cross. 12 and 2 of Hebrews, endured the cross. He endured it. It was just a matter of endurance. Like I'll use the most common thought of endurance, a racer running endurance. He endured the cross, despising the shame because he bore ours. He died for his people. How great was that? Back up into 52 of Isaiah. The last few verses, he was beaten beyond recognition. His visage was so marred, he could not be recognized, and he could not see through his own eyes because they were beaten shut by man, God the Creator. Paul is opening and alleging that the living Word of God, the eternal Son of God, must needs have suffered. He suffered for our sins. He died for our sins. He bore our shame, our humiliation. By his stripes we are healed. That doesn't mean we don't bear shame. We don't have shame. When I think something I'm not supposed to think, I'm ashamed of God for it and pray for mercy. And if I do something I'm not supposed to do, I get on my knees and cry, Father, forgive me. I am vile because I have shame. That's a gift of God. It's called a conscience. But he bore our shame before God that on the day of judgment we don't have to stand in shame, but we stand before God in the righteousness of his Son. Opening legend that Christ must needs have suffered for our sins and lay his life down, part of that suffering, and rise again. And I'll say this again. He rose the first time as the Son of David from the Virgin Mary. He rose the second time as the Savior of his people. And that this Jesus, this man whom the Jews, where's he at in the synagogue? Who's he talking to? Jews. That this Jesus, whom ye delivered up to Pilate to be crucified, this Jesus that you rejected, do you see any works of man in there? Tell me, dear Arminian friend, how can one dead in sin approach unto God? He cannot. Our nature is death and sin. This Jesus whom you rejected, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. He is the Christ of God. You've been looking for him since Moses gave you the law. All these things prophesied, all the types and shadows, all the things in the prophets that they brought unto us. You've been looking for him, and now he's here, and you rejected him. And he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the second person of the Godhead. He is the living Word which became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Light of God. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of David. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ anointed to save God's people from their sins, to be King of kings and Lord of lords. This man, Jesus Christ, all man and all God. What's the next verse say? I love this. And some of them believed. Hallelujah. Tell me why they believed. Well, they were preaching and they made a decision to accept the Lord and believe His gospel. Don't believe that rubbish. That is a weak man denying God and it's blasphemy. Look back to Lydia. The Lord opened her heart. Again, same text. Life must precede action. God gave them life. They were children of God, elect from before the foundation of the world. The Son of God gave them life. He quickened them. They were born of God. They knew God in their heart. And now going back to Romans 10, in the explanation given there, they heard the voice of the minister preaching the gospel and they believed. They already believed in God. They were there trying to worship Him. They believed the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And some of them believed because God had opened their heart and consorted with Paul and Silas. You know, I can see that. I can see that. Tell us more. Oh, we're hungry. We're thirsty. We want to hear this again. We want to hear more. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5? That they who hunger and thirst after righteousness would be filled. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas and the devout Greeks. Now this is particularly pertaining to the Jews in the synagogue. But he also says, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, there were proselytes there also to the Jewish religion that were not Jewish, and of the chief women, not a few. Let me make another point here about women. People say the Apostle Paul binds a woman. He's a sexist. He's a chauvinist. Remember that back in the 60s and 70s when all these rebellious movements against God and His grace were going through this country that God is so richly blessed. Well, we've got the right to go here and we've got the right to go there and do all these things. I'm going to tell you, brethren, God set you at liberty in Jesus Christ. That liberty enables you to not be bound by the law, but to serve God in pureness from the heart. That liberty is not to walk in sin. There's a recompense for every sin. And every time we sin, we suffer for it while we're here in this world. We'll not suffer in heaven in immortal glory. For Christ has bore our sins in His body on the tree and paid that sin. But while we live in this world, if we walk away from God, we suffer from it. But I'll tell you this. Some of them believed and some of them were devout Greeks and of the chief women, not a few. That's my point I want to get back to. The Scripture, the Holy Ghost, or I'll use the words of people outside that don't know the Bible. Paul was this. Paul was that. Paul is doing nothing but delivering the Word of God. And the Word of God liberated women. Have you seen the Taliban? Have you seen the women in their face covered and look like a garbage bag over their body, can't be seen, can't speak, must walk behind their man in humble submission to him or risk being beaten or killed? That's the law, brethren. The Bible liberates a woman. A woman is to teach the children. A woman is to love her husband. You want proof? Where is it? Paul says that the man is to render due benevolence unto the wife. She's part of him, the twain being one flesh. He is to love her. He's to cherish her. He's to care for her. And she's to be involved in everything he does and every decision he makes. That's Bible. The two are one. The chief women, not a few. Verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, here we go. People get mad. Flipping through the channel this morning, there's the man who preaches Israel every Sunday morning on TV begging for money. We need to go to Israel. We need to save Israel. Send this money so I can go over there and help those Israelites. We depend on them. Israel exists no more, okay? The Israel of God in the nature of a nation and borders is gone. That's no more. The Israel of God is you here today, spiritual Israel. They use that to have power and they use that to have money. But the Jews, because God had a people there among the Jews in that synagogue, and there were a people there among the Jews who were not in that synagogue. These two verses prove that some of them believed. Some of the Jews believed. The elect of God among the Jews there in that synagogue believed. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. The Jews that were there and were not his cannot receive the things of God. It is not given to them. But the Jews, and I'll say this too, those that stand before God and say that's not fair, you best think about what you're saying and who you're talking to. I thank God that He loved me. And that's all I can do. But the Jews which believed not. Was there not a reason why they had to wander in the wilderness 40 years? That the carcasses of those who believed not perished because they would not, for they could not enter the promised land. Why? Because those that fell were not of spiritual Israel. They were in unbelief. Oh, let us make gods. We're going to see that in the end of this chapter. Let us make us gods. What happened in Genesis 11? Let us make us a city. Let us make us a name. Unbelief. Now I'll say this before I move forward. To clarify, there were Jews in that day which were blinded. Isaiah testified of that. Isaiah 6. Their eyes would be shut. That they would believe not because of the way they had lived and sinned against God. And there were Jews which are not of spiritual Israel. And there were Jews which are of spiritual Israel. They are then, they are now, because now they're dead in heaven above. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy. Your gospel is prosperous. Would anybody be envious of us today? Lord, help us. I fall so very short. I start with me because I have to look in the mirror. Every night when I pray, God, give me repentance. God, give me conversion. And bless daily. And bless the church at Ebenezer. That's a daily and a nightly prayer. It begins with me because I need repentance. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy. Took unto them certain lewd fellows, the baser sort. There's all sorts of thoughts on what these fellows were. A priest that murdered somebody was called lewd and of the baser sort. There were men who worshipped pagan idols with lasciviousness and fornication involved, and they're called lewd and base people. But I believe what he's talking about here, and you'll see it in the next verse, the next couple verses. The lewd and baser sort were the people that hung around there in the market. Because as I told you earlier, it would be manifested here that the Apostle Paul went into the market every day. He went into public. He went into a place where people gathered. He'd go down to the mall. He'd sit in the marketplace to where things were sold. He would go there in the shambles in the market. And what did he do? He would talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." He wasn't ashamed of it, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. Paul would talk about it. He'd tell people about the Lord. Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. I'll say this in a gentle way and just quote Scripture. Old Elijah called them those that standeth and pisseth against the wall. You see the man that stands loitering all day with nothing to do but hearing and telling trouble and causing trouble. Too lazy to work. They would wander about the market. Had no money to buy because they would not work, so they'd pick up seed that would spill from bags from off the ground and make a living off that. That's why Paul said also in the Thessalonian letter, he that will not work will not eat. They didn't work. They gathered their food from the seed that was left upon the ground that fell out of the bags. Oh, you're not compassionate. Oh, you're very probably right. But I'm telling you Scripture. I'm not telling you me. And set all the city on an uproar. These men, they fired up. Consider where they're at. You cannot have a God that's not approved of the government in Rome. The Romans had national gods. The Romans had household gods. But it had to be approved by the government. Aren't you glad Uncle Sam, as perverted and corrupt as he is not in control of who we worship and how we worship? You know that was almost not in our Constitution. You go read about John Leland and our history's founding. Don't tell me we're supposed to hold hands with people, be sweet and love the wickedness of the world. We're not to be mean to anybody. We're supposed to live as peaceful as we can. But there are wicked people in this world who would sever you from God. Now you get mad at this if you want to. I can't help it. But you look at the parties today. The Democratic Party wants God removed from this country completely. Don't even mention the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the whole city is set on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason. Jason is said to be a bishop later. Possibly, there's no proof of it, but there is a Jason mentioned in Romans 16 and 21, and Paul thought highly of him. He also said possibly to be one of the 70 disciples the Lord sent out in Matthew 10. But it's not proven in Scripture. But he is there, and apparently he did keep Paul, and he did feed him, and he did give him board and lodging. These people assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. They want to bring Paul and Silas out. They're going to bring them before the people and rage the people and let the people do what they will with them. That's what a democracy is. That's mob rule. Aren't you glad we got a republic? Moved by the letter of the law, and I'll get off politics. Somebody needs to wake up somewhere. This nation's gone. And when they found them not, they didn't find Paul and Silas. They drew Jason and certain brethren, those that were in the household, under the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down." How'd they turn the world upside down? They were preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God sent them to preach it. God blessed the preaching. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Jews that were among God's elect and Gentiles in Rome among God's elect were leaving the pagan idols of man, the pagan idols of Rome, leaving the law service of Judea and turning the world they were in upside down by following Jesus Christ. And it all came with the preaching of the gospel. Don't tell me it's not important. Whom Jason, they're saying, hath received. Jason received him. Jason brought him into the house. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, one Jesus. Sounds kind of like what the Jews did, didn't it? This man maketh himself a king. We have only one king, that is Caesar. Pilate wanted to release him. But when they started talking about Caesar, Pilate was afraid. So Pilate subdued himself to their desires. Submitted, there's the word I want, himself to their desires. They're stirring it up. These men preach another king than Caesar. They were envious, remember, that's what brought all this about. Why did the Jews rebel against Christ? One place in Scripture says, for envy, they delivered him. Man's nature is narcissistic. Envy. Me. I. It's not about me. It's not about I. It's about Christ. For the worlds were created by Him and for Him. And He is the head of the church. He's head of all things. He sits in heaven in immortal glory on a throne at the right hand of the majesty on high. It's about Christ. We're not here preaching to fill up the church. Although God willing, He'll add daily which should be saved. We're not here trying to populate heaven and immortal glory. If that's the case, it's dependent upon us. It'll be empty. We're here to glorify the Son of God, period. Period. These that have turned the world upside down are come thither, whom Jason hath also received into his house. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. We can prove in many places, Revelation 19 is the first one come to my mind, where we see Christ sitting upon a white horse, and he is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. He rules and reigns over heaven and earth. He's the king of the wicked because he reigns over them and has power over them, and they will fall at his will. He's the king over the government of men because he raises them up and removes them at his will when it pleases him, if he deems it necessary to be involved. Sometimes God gives us up to our own desires. That's why this country's in such a shape. We have men in our government that are wicked and evil. Why? Because we seek them and we devour them. We need repentance and we need prayer. Jesus did not come into the world interfering with the governments of men. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now, I'm going to say this again. The Bible says that we are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man, every rule of law, every government law. And I'm going to bring this up and I'm going to make a statement. When the law of Caesar is contrary to the law of God, then Caesar has stepped over his boundaries and it is not to be obeyed. Let me make a point. China, for many years, murdering daughters at the point of birth because they were not male. Do you think God would have you to submit to that in this country? Well, it can't happen here. You better wake up. Been killing 1 million children a year since the 1960s. Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He was no threat to Caesar or Caesar's rule or Caesar's throne. That would come and go as it would. We'll get into that a little later too when we get into God being in control of the times of man. But they're saying, he's saying there's another king, one Jesus. Yes, he is. But he's not worried about Caesar, nor threatening to Caesar. And they trouble the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let him go. They brought Jason out and the brethren in the household. They tried to say they had Paul and Silas. They are destroying what we have up, turning over everything we have in Rome and our household gods and our national gods and all the things we have made and we have created and we cling to. These men are tearing down by preaching Jesus Christ. Actually, the Lord was doing it. So they brought out Jason in the household. So as they took security of him, when I first read that, I had to thought maybe they had to pay a bail or a bond. Because they're brought before rulers, remember that. But I think what they're saying here is that when they were secure in the knowledge that this gospel, after hearing it, was no threat to Caesar or their nation, they let them go. And the brethren, dear brethren, caring for their brethren, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas. Look, it's getting dangerous here for you in Thessalonica. Y'all need to go. You can come back later, whatever the case may be. You can imagine, you can think, I don't know. But they were concerned about them. They loved them. They were concerned about the church. And they sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Who coming thither, what's Paul going to do? I've just left trouble. I left trouble when I got to that trouble. Now I'm going for some more trouble. Because I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something about wicked people that hate God. You cannot reason with them. You cannot talk to them. You cannot prove them wrong. This is what's going on here. Go to WVTM, Channel 13. Go back to where Sam Bryan and Josh Coker and Josh Winslet were down there at the pro-life rally in Birmingham a few weeks ago. They did a very good job. Sam spoke. The two Joshuas did not. Other people spake. Proclaiming that life is precious. Don't murder children. In the womb or out. And then go over to the comments section. It's on Facebook, somebody told me. Go read it there. Read the comments of those people who are non-believers. They're either not yet born of the Spirit of God. If they ever are, they'll highly regret what they've done and said. Or else they're wicked and not God's children. It's only two ways. Read the hatred toward God. Read the hatred toward Christ. Read their hatred of the unborn and their delight in murdering unborn children. It is my right to do what I please. It is my right to bear these children. It is my right to murder these children. May not even know who the father is. I'm going to tell you, God knows. And God loves the child. And I go back to this, Isaiah 57, the righteous perisheth, no man layeth the heart, merciful men are taken away, none considering to take away the wrath to come. God's people are persecuted at a young age. These children, I highly believe, are God's children. That's why they're murdered, and the influence of Satan. But these people in these commentaries hate God, they hate Christ, and therefore they hate you. They want to kill the men who are giving the message. Ben went to a pro-life rally in Huntsville. The people on the other side, he said, Dad, I think about you sometimes when you were up there in some of these projects and people were throwing rocks at you and spitting at you and wanting to kill you. They didn't know me. They hated me because I was on the side of law and order. They were doing the same thing to them in Huntsville, calling them filthy names, spitting at them, desiring to kill them. Had the law not been there, they probably would have tried. They don't know my son. They don't know these others. But they hate God. And they hate Christ. And that's why they're in such a frenzy. Now, when you talk about unbelieving Jews, you understand what they're facing. This is just like when they delivered Christ up. Crucify this man. They didn't care who he was. They hated him. The one thing was for certain. If they didn't believe he was the Son of God, they knew he was sent from God, and they hated God himself. Verse 10. We'll go a few more. You notice the grace of God prevails. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither, here we go, here goes Paul, went into the synagogue of the Jews. You're not going to run me off. You're not going to shut me up. You'll have to kill me in order to shut me up. They went into the synagogue of the Jews. They know there's going to be trouble, but they know they're sent to testify of God. And they also know that there are believers there and that God was sending them there. I just left one trouble, now I'm coming into another to preach to God's people. They went into the synagogue of the Jews, verse 11, speaking of those in Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Not saying those in Thessalonica were evil. There's some there that's God's people. There are two epistles written to them. Chapter 1, verse 5, 1 Thessalonians. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. They received the word. Let's define that. Let's go back to John 1, for he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God. The Arminian will twist that, oh, God needs your help. Jesus tried but couldn't get it done. Or be like Mr. Spurgeon, God died for you and chose you, but if you don't fulfill these certain steps God laid out, you're going to be lost to hell. Read the text. Those that did receive Him are born of the Spirit of God. They must be born of the Spirit of God. Life must precede action. Therefore, if they're born of the Spirit of God, they're children of God already. What does the word receive mean? Peter says it this way, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on it. God gave it to you. He says in one place in Peter's writings, for God hath given unto us everything that pertaineth unto life and godliness. God gave it to us. It's to His children elect from before the foundation of the world. When He quickens them, He gives it to them. So how's He laying hold on eternal life? The same way we are to receive Christ. The word means to lay hold on in an intimate sort of way. To grab Him. Do you remember Israel in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, in Genesis? Grabbed Him. Would not let go. I'll not let go till you bless me. Brethren, there's a blessing in the gospel. There's a blessing in walking with God. There's a blessing in laying hold on eternal life. The word means to lay hold of in an intimate sort of way because Christ was their brother. He was a Jew. They were Jews. Many of them would not have Him. Family didn't matter. But those born of God laid hold of Him. They received Him, as the text says. They were already given life, and they laid hold of Him and clung to Him. Use some of my old school speaking, like an Alabama tick dug into a dog. They laid hold on Him. That's how we're supposed to lay hold on the gospel. These brethren received the gospel. They laid hold on it. They wanted to hear it. They went to church. They went to the market. They went everywhere that Paul would speak. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They went to hear the true gospel of the sovereignty of God and of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, the living Word, who redeemed us from sin and death. The ones in Berea were no more noble because they received the word, the gospel, the truth, with all readiness of mind. They were there wanting to hear it. They were wanting to know it. They were wanting to walk in it. They were wanting to turn from the world. That's how the gospel changes lives. My brother and I were talking Friday after he got home. He said, you know, I've come to learn the last 10 years, I hate things I used to love, and I'm now things I used to hate. I said, amen. That's the grace of God. Turning aside from the things of nature. Turning aside from the things of the world. And turning to the gospel. Why the gospel? Because the gospel brings life and immortality to light. It teaches us of Christ. And when we hear the gospel and we seek the gospel and we walk in the gospel, it's a blessing that cannot be had anywhere else. They received it with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily, the Old Testament, confirming what was preached to them by Paul and Silas and the others, whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. Didn't say all of them. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. Now watch what's fixing to happen. Because those they left behind in Thessalonica are so wicked and evil, they're coming down here to try to stop them. Therefore, many of them believed, God's elect. Lord, who hath believed our report? I tell you exactly who's believed the report. Isaiah 53:1, the elect of God, those whom God hath revealed it unto. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few, a great multitude. But when the Jews, here's wickedness, here's evil, they know something's going on, giving glory to God, they're coming down here trying to stop it. Have you seen the American Civil Liberties Union? They come from wherever they are, to every state in the Union, every province, every territory. Every time somebody mentions God on public property or in a government office, they want to stomp it out. They want to kill it. They want to destroy it. You can't do that here. It's the same thing. Do you see the freedom from religion? You see the Kentucky sheriff the other day that posted something on his department's Facebook page about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Oh, they're throwing a rabid fit. Why? Because they hate God. They hate Christ. Therefore, they hate you. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, the non-believers, had knowledge that the Word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. What's our remedy? First of all, prayer and dependence upon God, faith. Keep on preaching. Keep on obeying. Keep on walking in the gospel. When the Lord's ways please a man, He maketh even His enemies to be at peace with Him. Have your ways please the Lord. You're not going to attain perfection. You're in a sinful body. But have your ways please the Lord. They stirred up the people, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Paul, you need to go. They're Jews. We know what happened. You were a Pharisee. They hate you above all us. They're going to try to kill you. They already had. Remember, they stoned him. Thought they stoned him to death, but God was with him. You go on. We'll catch up with you down the road. But right now, we're going to stay here and confirm the church in Berea. Right now, we're going to stay here and preach the gospel, confirming these brethren in the faith of God and Jesus Christ. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, Paul said, I want them here. For to come to him with all speed, they departed. And so Paul sent for Saul and Timotheus. Oh, this is going to be so wonderful when we get into this next week. We're going to see Athens, a place totally taken away in idolatry. No knowledge of God. Darkness, 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 idolatry. And we're going to see, Lord willing, the power of God at work in a heathen city. Brethren, if God can work there, God can work here. God can do as God pleases. I'll go back to what he told Solomon at the dedication of the temple. Probably won't get it right, but I'm not going to turn and read it. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will open the doors of heaven and pour them out a blessing that they wouldn't be able to receive. Didn't say I'll give them eternal life. Child of God's got eternal life. That's been secure in the covenant from before the world was. That's why the sacrifice was bound with cords to the altar. But the blessings of God and the kingdom of God, that's what we desire. May God help us.